At the age of 9, Isaac Bailey witnessed his hero, his eldest brother, Moochie, taken away in handcuffs for the murder of a white man in South Carolina. Moochie did not return from prison for 32 years, 7 of which were spent in solitary confinement. In his new book, My Brother Moochie, Bailey, who has gone on to become an award-winning reporter over an 18-year career for the Sun News in South Carolina, a Harvard Nieman Fellow, Marshall Project, CNN.com, and Vice.com contributor, and the recent winner of a Soros Justice Fellowship, tells the story of the profound impact that Moochie's crime had on his life. And it is born out of a 7-part series that Bailey wrote for the Sun News in 2007. The name of the book, My Brother Moochie, Regaining Dignity in the Face of Crime, Poverty, and Racism in the American South. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Isaac Bailey to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
As I mentioned, this came out of a series that you wrote for The Sun in 2007. 11 years later, this book comes out. So in putting this together, how did you want to tell your brother's story? And ultimately, what do you want the takeaway to be?
Yes, kind of like it has been a long, hard process. Yes, and I guess my major lesson is that I want people to know simply because somebody does something monstrous, actually does not make them a monster. And because especially with my brother, he actually faced so many different kind of obstacles it sort of actually made his path even more difficult than mine.
In your story, of course, you're talking about your brother, but also about your story as well and how hard you take this to the point where you are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and the stutter that we hear developed after your brother's sentencing, which you're still grappling with. So this is something that takes you over completely.
And because my dad too is other theme that I want people to understand is the fact at least especially sort of like actually with the trauma unseen especially my family's like mine and because I was actually just like this 9-year-old boy then yes and then so I guess that my speech gotten choppy by that point. This sort of actually made it at least 10 times worse. This trauma has actually just to like actually manifested itself in me. But for like many other young sort of like black boys, I guess that trauma myself actually just manifested itself in various other ways. My diagnosis sort of actually did not come until 25 years later. I'm a yes, and then so not like during that whole period, I was actually dealing with this thing, but I sort of didn't even know, fully, how sort of deeply rooted this was.
Just looking at some of the numbers. 10 boys in your own family, half end up in the criminal justice system.
Yes.
What role, and you write about this, what role does poverty and race and drug abuse play in all of this, and the fact that you're living in the South in the middle of the Bible Belt?
Exactly.
And how it affects not only you, but those who go to jail.
Yes, and all of those are, major factors in this. One of the hardest parts about this to hear, all of the shame that sort of actually comes with it. Especially for. My family's like mine. Simply because, kind of like if you, loved one, of the perpetrator, many people, also. I guess they also like actually hold you guilty as well. Which actually makes it much worse. Simply because you actually cannot get help. And also the fact that you cannot grieve. Which like actually just sees the ground. Awful things to come later.
You talk about how you finally realized that this didn't just come. This wasn't just bad luck. This didn't materialize out of thin air.
Yeah.
That sure you make excuses, but. You look at your father beating your mother. You look at your grandfather beating your grandmother. You look at your brother murdering another man. You look at your youngest brother serving 20 years in a federal prison. You look at a nephew who was raised like a brother who is now in the middle of a 25-year sentence in a state facility. Another brother is serving 16 years. My God, so... How does that all come together? That because this comes to a nature versus nurture argument too, right?
Yes. Yes, and it does. That is, you know, like one of the sort of the scariest part of the story. And because. What I get, some people like actually look at me, then they say, simply because like you actually made it out, and so like therefore, all of your brothers should have made it out as well. Once you like actually, place people, right in these, really really difficult, situations, and then you do it over and over and over again, I sort of actually think that, it actually doesn't make any sense. At least to actually My least to like actually think that we can like actually come out of that perfectly. My sort of like hope is that we can like actually find ways at least to like actually make sure that there are fewer of these obstacles. Yes, and because at least like that way, it actually makes it easier for sort of like talent to shine through then.
You yourself, and you write about this, are a father of a, is he still 16 or is he 16, 17?
Yeah.
16-year-old
yeah.
son. And so obviously you think about what it means to father a black son coming
yeah.
to age in this country at this time,
yeah.
as you say, at a place where a society that fails to value black life. So
yeah.
how do you navigate that?
I'm like very, very, at least with a lot of trepidation. And because what I want for him, I sort of actually just want him to be able to at least to like actually focus on sort of he can control. Which is why we actually like stress hard work and education, et cetera, like all those things, of course. I sort of actually don't want him to actually have to navigate all of the crap that I had to navigate. Especially when it comes to stereotypes about black boys. Yes, and then so and that sort of actually scares me most. Simply because I know that my son is really, really kind. He's really smart. He's a really good person. So like therefore I sort of actually want people just to be able to see that in him. But I am sort of like scared they are like only going to see these sort of like racial stereotype instead.
You write toward the end of the book, "That's why I know many members of my former church were open to embracing someone like Trump long before Trump came along. Not because they are racist, but because defeating racism is often not a priority for them." You go on to write a little bit later in that paragraph, "Even today, years after I left the church, I can call up just about any member, including everyone who voted for Trump, and they'd show up in the middle of the night and help me and my family if I asked. That's why when they declare they are not racist, they should be believed."
Yeah. Yes, and all of that is absolutely true. Which sort of actually makes it so sort of like frustrating. And because for me, our sort of like biggest problem today with race, isn't with the racist. It is sort of actually with really good people, who are too tolerant of racism. Yes, and so, and for me, my dad has been one of the saddest things about this whole period. Especially because that I know so many good people, kind of like who are not standing up to that bigotry enough.
I mean, one of the things that keeps coming up, I think, in conversation is that people who say, well, is the president a racist? And if the president is a racist, are all the people who support him then supporting racism?
Sure.
And that's a hard thing to untangle.
Sure. Yes, and that is like really, really hard to untangle. I sort of actually just go back to like how Jim Crow actually played out here. Yes, and because it sort of actually was the same situation. Especially the fact that there many sort of good. People like who actually went along with that system. Yes, and so essentially right in there sort of like personal relationships. They sort of actually were kind. They sort of like actively actually kept this system going anyway, which like actually hurt most black people. And so for me, I sort of actually just see that sort of like actually just happening again right now.
It's happening again right now, and we don't see, I guess the way to end this conversation with you is to ask you then, given what you're dealing with your son, given what you have dealt with your family and your brothers, do you have optimism?
Yeah, that's a good question. I sort of actually do. I'm really sort of actually right, like in a sense, that simply because I know that we sort of actually have to go through painful things in order to really get through a better day. Yes, and then so I'm like, and so like right now, I think that it is just vital, for us to be. Really, really honest. At least about where we are. Get the sense that sort of like many people sort of actually want to skip over that part. Simply because they are actually trying to run to comfort instead. At least for me, these are sort of clarifying days. My sort of hope is that once we have everything in the open, many of these really good people, will actually wake up.
The name of the book is My Brother Moochie, Regaining Dignity in the Face of Crime, poverty and racism in the American South. That word dignity is key in this book. It's a beautiful word. And did you realize when you achieved it?
I am, I finally recognized it, you know, like when I had stopped being ashamed of sort of being black, my oldest brother had actually killed someone. Speaking with a stutter. Once that happened, then I've actually gained peace.
And you realized that even though there is that halting of your speech, that it is still a very powerful voice.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'm actually dealing with the stutter, and like for, I guess like kind of, I'm like 36 years now. At least sort of had my head actually taught me more about race. Just about like anything else.
The book is really stunning. It is entitled My Brother Moochie, Regaining Dignity in the Face of Crime, Poverty, and Racism in the American South. It is published by Other Books as well as Nation Press. Isaac Bailey, thank you so much for spending time with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks again, and thank you very much for having me.
Yes, it's a great pleasure. Thank you. Isaac Bailey is the author of My Brother Moochie. It is published by Other Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.